No. Was there anyone that would be extremely useful if I got them on my side for this activity? It was the person my eyes never quite settled on. The person my mind seemed to be forcing me to ignore that was the right answer. If I hadn't been deliberately going down the team list, I wasn't certain I would have even thought to approach him. The effects of the mesmer attunement were subtle. It wasn't like the brute force effects that we'd trained against. I was able to resist the mental effect by deliberately purifying my mana and converting more of my mana into mental mana, but only once I was actively aware I was being influenced. If I hadn't been aware of Jin's attunement, I wouldn't have thought to do it at all. That made it terrifying. It also meant he had a tremendous advantage in this exercise, if he was on my side. I started to walk toward him uncertainly. A hand settled on my arm, stopping me along the way. I flinched at the sudden contact, turning to find Roland next to me. He raised his hands in a gesture of apology.
Sorry, Corin. Didn't mean to startle you. Can we talk a bit?
I took a breath to calm myself.
Yeah, sure. Talk. In private?
Roland waved to a section of trees away from the path. Yeah, sure. I took another breath. Roland walked off the path, and I followed him. My eyes scanned him again, my attunement activating instinctively. Nothing on him was immediately alarming. No hidden magical weapons under his clothes. Still, I couldn't be too comfortable with him until I knew what his skills were. Maybe now was the time to find that out. We walked for just about a minute before he stopped. Even with that slight distance, we were deep enough in the trees that everyone else was out of sight. I walked to stand a few paces away from him, far enough that I judged I could easily draw my sword before he could reach me, unless he was even faster than my haste spell was. I tried to sound casual, but my breath was ragged with nervousness. "What did you want to talk about?" Roland tightened his jaw, looking displeased.
"I have a secondary assignment, but I can't complete it alone."
I raised an eyebrow at that. "And you're asking me why, exactly?" He sighed. This clearly wasn't a comfortable conversation for him, either.
"Let's just say I have a strong indication that you'd be the right one to help."
"Unfortunately, let's just say isn't going to be good enough for me right now. I have a secondary assignment, too." Roland nodded.
"I suspected as much. This appears to be some sort of trust exercise."
So, he's got a piece of the puzzle too, even if it's not the same one. I can work with that. I gleaned something similar from my own orders. Unfortunately, they also give me a disincentive to share information with people unless I know I can trust them. Roland raised an eyebrow at that.
"You've known me since we were kids, Corin. Of course you can trust me."
I shook my head. "I mean within the context of this exercise. Although frankly speaking, I don't know you very well anymore. We've barely spoken in years."
"I suppose I'm at fault for that, at least to some degree. We should definitely talk about that, but maybe not right now."
Roland shook his head.
"Someone is going to get suspicious if we're out here too long, and I have a feeling that conversation could take a while."
"Agreed. For the moment, let's focus on these assignments. Can you share anything with me about what your paperwork says?"
"Very little. I have a high number of restrictions on what I'm allowed to say and do."
I frowned at that. It could easily imply that he was a spider himself, and he was a good candidate for that, given how much he'd been missing throughout the year. But it wasn't the only explanation, and I wasn't going to let myself get trapped in thinking about the first option I'd considered. "Okay. What can you tell me?"
"My orders told me to find the enchanter with two attunements and discover their mission. I wasn't aware you had two attunements, but I know you're an enchanter. There are other people who it could be, but I know you, so I'm starting with you."
Dangerous to confirm that, but it's common knowledge within my group. If he doesn't learn from me, he'll probably learn from someone else, unless I can communicate for them not to. "I'm most likely the one you're looking for. I'm not telling you my mission without some confirmation that it doesn't interfere with mine, though. Roland nodded.
Understandable. Thank you for that, at least.
He turned to leave. I blinked. That had been abrupt. Hold on. What's your own attunement? He shrugged his shoulder.
Not allowed to say, but if you do happen to find out, I'm allowed to use it around you.
That was an obvious nudge to figure it out on my own. Unfortunately, even with my own attunement active, I couldn't see what his mark was. It was under his clothing somewhere, most likely the center of his chest from the glow I saw from that area, unless he was wearing something under his clothes. His legs were glowing too, though. That might have meant he had a leg mark, or maybe he was just wearing magic boots. The sheer number of auras on him made it hard for me to tell, and that was probably a deliberate effect. Can you tell me which attunements you don't have? Roland smiled for the first time I could remember seeing in years.
That's a very you question, Corin, but no, I'm not allowed to imply my attunement either. Sorry. Wish I could make this easier for you.
He shook his head.
Let's head back. The others will be wondering about us by now.
He sounded sincere enough, but I had to question his goals. I thought about it more as I followed him back. The closest thing I'd heard to a restriction about discussing an attunement was Sarah's contract with Seiryu. I hadn't studied summoners extensively, but it was hypothetically possible he had a similar contract with an even greater restriction. But it didn't sound likely. More likely, this specific assignment had instructions not to disclose his attunement. This was clearly a trust exercise, as well as an information-gathering exercise. But even more likely than that answer, he was forbidden to discuss his attunement in general, even outside this test. Just restricting him within one test was a nearly pointless exercise. Almost everyone knew each other's attunements by this point in the year. But Roland had never disclosed his, even at the beginning of the year, and he'd never shown it off, even during dueling classes. That strongly implied the restriction predated this test. So what possible reasons were there for that? The simple answer was that spiders were instructed not to disclose their attunements. If he was a spider, that was a simple conclusion to draw. But it wasn't the only one. Jin had hidden his attunement because it was a foreign one, and not from a nation that he wanted to be associated with. Roland was a Valian native. That meant he probably had a Valian attunement, but it wasn't a guarantee. Derek had an attunement from Delanos. It was expensive to take a trip to another country and get a foreign attunement, but there were some advantages. Notably, both Delanos and Edria allowed people to take attunement exams at a younger age. That was why Jin was as powerful as he was, and it was probably a good part of why Derek was already an Emerald. Delanos offered judgments starting at 13, so 4 years earlier than in Valia. Roland was just a little older than me. My mother had started taking trips to Delanos to climb their spire a few years ago. Roland had been a part of her household. Could Roland have gone with her and taken a judgment at a younger age? That would have explained a great deal. If he'd taken a judgment 3 years ago, he could be around the same level of power as Jin and just hiding it in the same way. I was beginning to suspect the entire monster-infested forest was just a backdrop for an intelligence-gathering activity. Or, of course, maybe I was just overthinking all this. I had a tendency to do that. We got back to the wagons. I fetched some food from my pack, ate quickly while pondering my next move, and then settled on my original approach. I found Jin standing at the border of the woods, eating in silence. I walked over to him and pulled my flask out of my pack, offering it to him. It was the one that provided an endless supply of drinking water, so I wasn't exactly wasting anything. He accepted it with a raised eyebrow, taking a quick drink before handing it back to me. I took a breath. I was so bad at this. Thought we could talk for a minute.
You would technically be correct.
He took another bite of his meal, a sandwich that appeared to consist of nothing but two slices of bread and a piece of cheese wedged between them. I chuckled. Not about us. About the mission, or rather, additional missions? He frowned, though whether it was at the world's most boring lunch or my words was hard to judge.
Go on.
I could use your help with something. He took another bite.
Clearly. Why else would you approach me?
I folded my arms. Right. First thing you can help me with is not being dramatic.
But it's part of my charm.
No, being brooding and mysterious is part of your charm, not being dramatic. Wait. No. You're not tricking me into complimenting you.
Too late.
Resh. I narrowed my eyes. Okay, Jin. We're not dealing with interpersonal things right now. Mission stuff. Focusing now.
Of course.
He was clearly enjoying teasing me. I was not going to fall for that. Probably. Okay, so I have a secondary mission that involves gathering information. You can go almost completely unnoticed.
Almost?
Jin made the slightest smirk.
Think you're underestimating me?
I hated how much I liked that smirk. Right. Clearly, you're an impossible-to-detect emerald-level shadow. Let's go with that. I have two assignments for you, O great bastion of invisibility.
I take it that at some point you will tell me what these assignments are?
I'm getting to that. Ugh. I refused to be flustered. It was ineffective. I need you to find out what Roland's attunement mark is. It's probably on his...
Diviner.
I blinked. What?
He's a diviner. The mark is on his right leg. He wears enchanted pants to obfuscate the aura. I figured that out ages ago. What else?
My jaw moved, but no sound emerged.
Take your time.
I sighed. Show off. Okay, fine. Why'd you figure that out?
Is that important?
Maybe.
I was sizing up the people who were in your inner circle for anyone who might be able to work through my mesmer attunement. I noticed that he was the only one who wasn't disclosing his abilities in conversation. I asked Patrick, who didn't know either. I had Patrick ask Sarah. When she didn't know, I had to find out myself. That was more complicated, and I will save you the details.
I suddenly had an image of Jin trying to find an opportunity to catch Roland without his pants. I laughed, and that helped me feel a little bit better. Okay, that's fine. It's good information. Great, in fact. It didn't tell me if Roland was a spider, but if I could trust Jin's word on the subject, which I probably could, it meant that I had a pretty good idea of what Roland was capable of. And it wasn't a foreign attunement. I'd probably just been overanalyzing that one. Still, it was refreshing to know he was most likely going to be a similar level of power to ours. That meant it'd be easier to counter him if he did turn out to be an adversary. I cleared my head and focused on the next task. Okay, next thing. Are we being observed right now? Jin scanned from left to right.
Not as far as I can tell.
Good. Are you a spider? Jin blinked. Then he smiled broadly, showing his teeth.
Why, of course not.
You have to realize that is the world's most suspicious response. Jin laughed.
I'm just startled it took you this long to corner me and ask, but also pleased that you did.
Okay, good. Because there's at least one in the group, and they're going to sabotage us. Jin's expression shifted immediately to neutral.
What?
You heard me. We've got an infiltrator in the group, possibly more than one, and I'd like your help to find them. Jin scanned the area again.
I'm revising my earlier assessment. If this is the kind of conversation we're going to be having, we need to do it further away.
Why?
Because I didn't see anyone watching us when you asked, but if you're correct, we're in a considerably greater amount of trouble. Anyone in Spider Division is likely to have alternate means of surveillance that would be harder to detect.
I frowned. Such as? Jin paused.
You were talking to Roland earlier. Did he touch you?
What? An image flashed in my mind of him grabbing me by the arm, then apologizing for bumping me. Jin continued speaking, but my mind put it together at the same time.
Leg-marked attuned use their spells by touch.
And he's a diviner. He could be watching us right now. I scanned my body with my attunement active, but I couldn't see any foreign magical auras. That meant very little, though. I'd only studied a little bit about divination. Enough to know about tracking spells, but not enough to know about whether or not the target of an active divination spell would have a visible aura on them. And, like Roland, I had so many magical items at this point that discerning any individual magical effect was tricky at best. What do we do about it if he is?
Jin drew in a sharp breath. If he is, he's already outmaneuvered us significantly. He knows we're aware of spiders in the group, and he also knows about my attunement now. And as a diviner, he's one of a few types of attuned that can counter me directly.
That made sense. Do you know how to break a divination spell that's already in effect?
Jin shrugged. Distance, maybe, but we're not going to get out of range. Time, of course.
He snapped his fingers.
Shadow magic? Shadow can nullify most magic in general, especially detection.
Kira, then?
She'd be a possible solution, Jin agreed. But we don't even know if we're being watched. Asking her for help would mean letting her in on this, at least to some degree.
Fair. Perhaps for the moment we should just proceed as if we're being observed. Kira is another suspect herself, and I'd rather not let her in on anything just because Roland might be watching. Besides, even if he is observing us, that doesn't automatically mean he's a spider. Gathering information is a normal diviner task.
I concur, but it also means we should draw this conversation to a close. I will investigate things further.
I nodded. So will I. We had an awkward pause for a moment after that. Jin lifted up a remaining bit of sandwich.
I'm going to continue eating now.
Right. Bye. I turned and fled. Well, I considered, that could have gone worse. That was when the wagon closest to me exploded. Chapter 16. And then everything was on fire. I did what was obviously the smart thing and ran toward the explosion. Some others reacted similarly, showing a similar lack of self-preservation instinct. Others drew weapons. Marissa ran after the fleeing horses. Oh, right. Horses! They ran right past me, obviously terrified from the sudden burst of sound and fire. I was a little surprised they were free to run at all. They must have been detached from the carriage while they were being fed. This was unfortunate timing. Unfortunate or more likely, well planned by a traitor who needed as many distractions as possible. Sarah was only a few feet away from the carriage, holding her head. The sound of the detonation must have hit her hard at that range. Patrick stepped in front of her, glanced around, then pointed his hand at the flames.
Extinguish!
The flames flickered but didn't subside.
Was anyone in there?
Someone asked. I couldn't tell who. I rushed over to Sarah, who was slowly rising to her feet. You okay? She pointed at her head, then frowned. Was all she managed to say. Can't hear me? She stared for a moment, then half nodded uncertainly. Resh! Patrick, can you take care of the fire?
Trying, but it's not working. This was a powerful spell, and I'm specialized in lightning, not fire.
I nodded to him. Then I pointed to Sarah, raised my hands up, and made a throwing gesture.
What?
Sarah mumbled.
Oh.
She shook her head.
I think... maybe...
She coughed, then took a breath, and began to chant.
Goddess watching from up high, send us snow from the sky.
I'd expected her permafrost cascade spell, but what she conjured was just a bit different. Globes of snow appeared above the carriage and descended, weakening like flames. The other two elementalists approached, joining Patrick's efforts and finally managing to extinguish the flames. We quickly cleared away the wreckage of the top of the vehicle and confirmed that, fortunately, no one had been inside at the time of the blast.
What the resh was that?
Kira asked.
Explosion,
Patrick explained.
I caught that, genius. I mean, how'd that happen?
Rupert picked up a rod from the center of the cabin. It was etched with runes and split in half.
This, he said, looks like an enchanted item.
All eyes turned to me. I was over there talking to Jin. I pointed at the spot where Jin had been. He was gone, of course.
I'm no expert, Rupert Kent said, but I do think this is the type of item that could be set in advance and set to detonate at a specific time. Which does seem like the kind of thing you would do, Cadence. No offense. And how would you know about enchanting?
Patrick asked. Rupert puffed up his chest.
Unlike some of the people here, I actually study quite broadly.
I waved a hand. Let me see that and at least confirm if what Rupert is saying is correct.
Be my guest.
Rupert tossed me the broken rod. I glanced it over, examining the runes. He was right. It had a time-delayed activation function. The amount of time the item would take before detonating would be based on the amount of mana invested at the time it was used. He's correct about the runes, but I didn't make this.
Right,
Rupert said.
The only enchanter here didn't make the magic item. Seems likely.
Virtually everyone here is wearing magical items. Anyone could have bought something like this ahead of time. It wouldn't be expensive.
Except they checked us for dangerous weapons on the way in,
Byers pointed out.
And explosive devices would certainly fall into that category.
Unless someone was allowed to carry one as a part of being a member of Spider Division, I considered. But explaining that might be unwise.
Someone could have smuggled it in,
Roland offered. I raised an eyebrow, surprised at his help.
They only did a physical check, not a magical one, as far as I could tell. A shadow could have gotten through that.
Some of our eyes shifted to Kira.
What? Wasn't me.
She shrugged. That was apparently going to be the extent of her defense. Even if I wanted to make something like that, I couldn't. That was fire magic. I don't have fire magic.
No, but your buddy there does.
Byers pointed to Patrick.
And he was the first person to jump to your defense, too, thinking you could be working together.
I put my hands up. And what motivation would I have to do any of this?
There are spiders here,
Jin said, appearing next to Byers and giving the latter quite a shock.
They've been instructed to sabotage our mission. Our second-year friends can confirm.
Kathy opened her hands in a gesture of surrender.
Wasn't supposed to tell you guys, but now that it's out in the open, yep, that's part of your test.
So who are they?
Patrick asked. Kathy blinked.
I'm obviously not going to just answer that.
It seemed like a silly question, but Kathy's eyes shifted when she responded. Just for a moment. I didn't see where she was looking, but maybe Patrick had. Not a bad move, Patrick. Hope you got something.
Okay, but why? They broke some of our crates, but most of the contents seem intact. Were they just expecting the fire to burn longer?
The horses,
Jin answered.
And if they are particularly clever, a trap for whoever runs after the horses.
I took just an instant to process that. Patrick responded first.
Marissa! She's in danger! We need to go after her!
Kira shook her head.
Marissa might be able to keep up with a horse. But she's a guardian. None of us are going to be able to catch them anytime soon.
Actually, that's not quite true. I glanced from side to side. I'll be right back. Haste. A field of transference mana manifested around my legs. I broke into a run, ignoring the shouts from the people behind me. I could clear my name later. For now, I had a friend to save. I still wasn't particularly adept at running with the haste spell active. Even practicing for weeks, I was still stumbling any time I hit a particularly large bump or a root. Twice, I nearly fell flat on my face. But the speed boost was significant. I hadn't measured it, but I guessed I was running at about twice my normal speed. Maybe a little less after accounting for necessary slowdowns to avoid taking a tumble. With that kind of speed, it only took me about 2 minutes to find Marissa, surrounded by half a dozen monsters. The road ahead of her was blocked by a tremendous boulder, and a single figure in a hooded cloak stood atop it, glimmering with magical energy. Two more humanoid figures in similar garb stood at the edge of the forest, simply watching. No sign of the horses. As I approached, a wolf-like beast with metallic blades protruding from its back leapt at Marissa. She ducked, grabbed its legs while it was still airborne, and then spun and hurled it at another monster, an animated suit of armor. The monsters collided and tumbled to the ground, but I knew they wouldn't be down for long. Still, I had greater concerns. One of the figures in the forest raised a hand and pointed it straight at Marissa's back. A halo of fire appeared around his hand.
He's a heartmarked, and he's charging a stronger spell.
I ran straight at him. I was too unsteady on my feet to draw my sword while I was running. I settled for something else.
One, two, three.
He turned toward my running footsteps. His hood fell backward, exposing a student's face with almost comically wide eyes. He shifted his hand toward me, still glowing with fire.
Four, good enough.
I slammed my fist into his chest, discharging the transference energy I'd been storing inside. He flew backward, slammed into a tree, and then fell still.
I might have hit him too hard.
Marissa turned toward the sound, absently backhanded a blast of lightning that came at her from the other direction, and then waved at me.
Oh, hey, Corin!
Then a bear monster jumped on top of her, slamming her to the ground.
Ack!
I managed, rushing toward her. The bear thing reared up to take a bite. In that moment, Marissa rolled over.
Rude!
She punched it in the face. The bear fell backward, looking stunned, and Marissa sprung to her feet, throwing a backward kick at the animated suit of armor that had just dislodged itself from the wolf. Another blast of lightning came from the student on the other side, this time connecting. Marissa winced, falling back, and I saw her shield crack just slightly. It wasn't the first crack, though. A quick inspection with my attunement showed that she'd projected her shroud to outside of her shield, just like she had in the arena. That shroud was soaking up most of the damage she was taking, but not all of it. And if her barrier broke, she'd be out, regardless of whether or not she could keep fighting. I kept running toward her, but another monster got in my way. It looked mostly like a human, but with a neutral mask instead of a face.
Oh, that's a...
The figure's body stretched and distorted, flesh transmuting as it formed a school uniform. Black hair burst from the back of its head. A sword formed in its hand. Then I was staring at an exceptionally creepy copy of myself, the only distinction being the neutral mask remaining in place of a face. It raised a sword that matched my own, including with the transference aura surrounding it. I didn't know how it managed that one, but I knew what I was fighting. It was a charade, a type of magical construct that could copy the general appearance and capabilities of humans. It wasn't quite as dangerous as a doppelganger, but it was still considered a Sunstone-level threat, and it was coming at me fast. I raised my own sword to parry its first strike, but another strike came at me almost instantly. With my attunement still active, I understood why. His whole body was glowing with an aura of transference mana. The charade had copied my haste spell, and it was better at using it than I was. That strike only clipped my coat. I stepped back, taking a defensive stance, but he struck again and connected this time, leaving a gash along my ribs. My phoenix sigil took the brunt of the damage, but it hit hard. Not only had it left a gash along my side, the pure force of the blow left me staggering backward and coughing.
Now I know what being hit with a sword with a transference aura feels like.
While the charade continued to harry me, Marissa was still surrounded by five other monsters. She was doing a great job at defending herself and redirecting their attacks into each other, but she wasn't doing much real damage, and they were wearing her down. I need to help her. I tried to sweep the charade's legs, but it hopped back, surprisingly nimble. I wasn't particularly used to fighting intelligent monsters. Humans usually had an advantage in finesse against the more bestial creatures, like the Blade Wolf thing. In this case, I had fewer advantages. It was faster than me, and if the moments our blades had met were any indication, probably stronger. I made a few probing strikes. It responded with expert precision, deflecting my blows without effort. I had no noticeable skill advantage to exploit, at least not when taking the creature's enhanced speed into account.
Haste!
I stretched the aura across my entire body, enhancing my speed for both my movements and my attacks. I unleashed a flurry of rapid strikes, no pausing to aim, no bothering with critical locations. The charade parried every strike. It was like it knew every move I was about to make. Maybe it did. In a fair fight, I stood no chance. There was only one option, then. Fortunately, fighting fair had never really been my style anyway. It's just like the shadow I fought in the spire, I realized. Only instead of a mirror, the charade jabbed toward my face. I moved my head to the side, but the aura brushed my cheek, leaving a gash. That strike brought him closer to me, though. I stepped in and rammed my forehead into the mask, discharging a burst of transference mana in the process. I didn't like using my mind mana, but I liked losing fights even less. The creature fell back, cracks spreading across its mask where I'd landed the hit. My own forehead hurt from the impact, but not enough to slow me down. Gotcha! I rammed my sword through the creature's chest. That was a bad move. The charade's torso distorted, hardening into an armor-like substance. My sword was stuck. It brought back its own blade, preparing to strike. I gripped my sword in both hands, then concentrated. Condense! The aura of mana around my blade shifted, all to one side, the top of the blade. Then I pulled upward. I split the charade's torso and head in half. The creature crumpled to the ground immediately, then shifted in shape again. The features that resembled mine dissolved, leaving a clay statue with a cracked mask. Then even that vanished as the mana sustaining the creature faded away. I turned toward Marissa. A clawed humanoid with green scales and a beak had grabbed onto her right arm. She kicked the wolf-like creature as it tried to approach her again, then slammed an elbow backward into the scaled monster, but it didn't let her go. The robed figure on the opposite side of the clearing hit her with another blast of lightning. More cracks formed in her shield, and it was evident it wouldn't hold much longer. Closing the distance would have taken seconds, but attacking from here was faster. I swung my sword and projected a wave of force which hit the green-scaled creature in the back. As it gasped in pain, Marissa adjusted her stance and hurled it over her head, right into the blades protruding from the top of the wolf. The results were messy, but effective. The scaled monster vanished a moment later. I rushed forward after that, while Marissa dodged a charge from the bear-like monster and hopped over a sword strike from the animated suit of armor. With that, I was at her side. Marissa grinned brightly at me.
Took you long enough?
Oh, yes. Let's complain about our rescuer. That seems reasonable. I blocked a swing from the walking suit of armor. Marissa rolled her eyes.
Rescue? Is that what this is? Thought you just couldn't stand 2 minutes without me.
The bear-like monster swung around and tried to maim her with a claw, but Marissa danced backward, then swept upward with a kick. Her aura whipped forward and sliced the creature's head clean in half. The monster collapsed, then vanished.
That's a new one. Haven't seen you do that with a kick.
I sidestepped a lunge from the blade-covered wolf, jabbing my sword into its side. The wolf howled, then took a deep breath. A sphere of flame began to form within its jaws.
Nope, not happening.
I stabbed right through its neck. It vanished a moment later. A blast of lightning caught me in the side, knocking me back a step and leaving a dangerous web of cracks in my barrier. I cast a glance at the figure in the woods, then blocked another swing from the suit of armor. Marissa smashed the armor with a fist, staggering it, and I followed it with a cut that knocked the sword out of its hands. After that, Marissa punched the helmet right off it. There was no head inside, of course, but it still looked pretty brutal. Fortunately, it fell and vanished a moment after that. I slashed another blast of lightning out of the air, then attached a thread of mana to my shield sigil with my other hand. It was something I should have done a lot sooner, but I'd been distracted. Then I stepped back, avoiding another blast, and began to recharge my sigil. The last remaining monster was a slime. Marissa kicked it. It died.
Left or right?
Marissa asked, glancing to the two remaining students who were slowly beginning to back away.
1 second first. Come here.
Marissa raised an eyebrow and turned toward me.
I know I was talking about missing me, but now is hardly the place or the time.
Shh! I put a hand on her shield sigil and poured mana into it. The cracks faded.
There. And left, by the way.
Marissa laughed.
Aw, I wanted that guy.
But fine. We charged in two different directions. For the sake of symmetry, I sheathed my sword and charged more mana into my fist.
Stars descend from sky!
Marissa shouted in the distance. Explodey Fist! I tried.
Explodey Fist?
The cloaked student had just enough time to question my attack naming abilities before I slammed a glowing fist into his chest. He flew back just like the previous one had. His barrier cracked and shattered. I rushed over to make sure he wasn't too badly hurt, but he was already picking himself back up. The shields didn't stop an attack completely, but they did a pretty good job of stopping a single punch, even a strong one, from causing permanent harm. I didn't bother to check on Marissa's fight immediately. I went to the other student I'd smashed right at the beginning of the fight. His eyes were reddened, and he still had a trail of tears along his sleeve. I paused a few paces away. You okay?
Yeah. Just disappointed.
I nodded. Sorry about that. You did a good job with the ambush.
Not good enough, I guess. You'd think with two summoners and an elementalist, we could have handled two other students.
I shook my head. It was a good strategy. I offered him a hand and helped him to his feet. Marissa and I are two of the top students in a dueling class. You had bad luck, that's all.
Bad luck?
He shook his head.
Guess that makes me feel a little better, at least. But Dad is still gonna beat the rush out of me when I get sent home.
My fist tightened when I heard that. I glanced from side to side. No one else was watching us. Give me your shield sigil for a second. The student frowned, but complied.
Why? I already failed. There'll be a signal going to the soaring wings.
They may not be able to tell how many signals are coming from one area. I knew how the sigil monitors worked. This one was only slightly different from the ones we'd used in the dueling class. I sent a hint of mana into the shield sigil, recharging it with just a fraction of the sigil's capacity. Then I reset the monitoring rune. With that, it would detect that the shield was still intact, and hopefully it would stop signaling the soaring wings.
What are you...
I handed it back to him. Put it back on. The main register is not completely broken. No promises. I haven't tested this before. Hide until the soaring wings show up, then have them check the sigil. They may let you stay.
Thank you. I don't know what...
Don't attack my group again. Period. The other student nodded weakly. Good. I'm gonna go check on the others now. I started to head toward Marissa.
Wait!
I turned my head. Yeah?
One of the traitors in your group is one of the second years. Kathy.
I opened and closed my jaw, but no sound came out. One of the second years? That wasn't even close to fair. But of course it wasn't. They must have known we wouldn't consider the second years an option. That made discovering them much less likely. And we didn't even know what Kathy's attunement was. It hadn't been listed. I took a breath. Thank you. Do you know if there are others? The student shook his head.
No. Sorry. Kathy was our contact.
Got it. Take care of yourself.
Thanks. I'm Ryan, by the way.
Corin. I'll see you later. I waved and headed over to where Marissa was, weirdly still facing off against the third student. I'd expected it to be over with one punch. Upon arriving at the scene, I could see why it wasn't. Marissa had just finished pummeling two more monsters into a pulp. This third student was not only a summoner, they were a strong one if they still had enough mana for more at this point. They weren't even breathing hard. They just stood on that rock, arms folded, as Marissa and I approached.
Fools! This land belongs to the Tales of Orochi! And like our master, if you cut off a single head, punching you now!
Marissa slammed a fist into the student's stomach. I was mildly disappointed. I'd been enjoying the evil monologue. The student doubled over, coughing.
Ow!
Sorry. Looks like it's gonna take one more.
Slam! The student's shield shattered.
Ugh! You could have at least let me finish my speech.
Marissa scoffed.
That is literally never a good idea.
I walked over. You both okay?
Just a couple of scrapes and bruises. Nothing your phoenix sigil won't fix.
She jerked a thumb at the other student.
And I didn't hit this guy too hard.
Your standards for hard are absurd.
The student complained, then broke into a cough. All right, looks like everyone is alive. I considered casting a lesser regeneration spell on each of the students to help them recover faster, but I still had no experience at actually casting healing spells on other people. Even though regeneration spells were ostensibly safe, they didn't seem injured badly enough that I should take any sort of risk. I needed to practice healing in a controlled environment first. Okay, Mara? Any idea where the horses went?
Off the trail. Monsters spooked them. You want to try to follow them into the woods?
Nah.
Neither do I. Let's head back to the others. Thanks for coming to help me.
Marissa grabbed me in a hug. I froze. Marissa pulled off.
Something wrong?
Little warning. Next time, Mara. I'm sort of sensitive about people grabbing me.
Oh, sorry. Thought it was okay. We're friends, right?
It's not... Oh, of course we are. I'm just not good at dealing with being touched. I have trouble even with Sarah. I sighed. It's nothing personal. She frowned. From her expression, I wasn't sure she believed me.
Oh, okay. I'll try to be a little more careful, yeah?
I nodded. Thanks.
Do you, wanna talk about it?
It?
Well, you're like that.
I shook my head. No. No, I do not.
Okay. I understand.
I doubted that, but I wasn't going to argue further. We walked back to the others in silence. Maybe I should have talked to her. It might have helped keep the intrusive thoughts and memories from running through my head.
You made it back!
Patrick's excited tone was a sharp contrast to the tone of my thoughts. I tried to focus, but sometimes the more I tried to ignore something, the more it forced itself into my mind. Fortunately, Mara did the talking.
Got jumped by 3 students on the Orochi team. Got to thinking that this wasn't a coincidence.
We concur,
Byers said as he approached.
In fact, Corrin is suspected of working with them.
Unless their team wins by being punched, I doubt that.
Marissa folded her arms.
Ran right out and helped me, unlike the rest of you. Not that I needed any help, mind you.
Byers turned to Kira.
We only have their word for it. She could be one of them, too.
Kira nodded.
I'll go check it out and see if there really are other students out there.
You shouldn't go alone, I suggested. Assuming their teams are structured like ours, 3 of them being there means there are still at least 2 others out there.
Unless those 2 others are already inside our group, Byers pointed out.
Possible, I considered, but more likely they'd have a full 5 and then the infiltrators on top of that. Still, I couldn't know for sure.
All right, Kira gestured to Rupert. Kent, you're with me.
Rupert gave Marissa a long look as the pair of them walked past us. Her hands balled into fists, but she didn't say anything. I need to talk to Roland. I started heading back toward the rest of the group, but Byers stepped in front of me.
Don't think so. Not by yourself, at least. You've been having a lot of one-on-one conversations already. That's more than a little suspicious.
I nodded. Sure. I've had time alone with Roland, Jin, and Marissa. You can't honestly think we have 4 infiltrators, though, can you? That'd be an absurd ratio. Byers shrugged.
I'm not dismissing any possibilities at this point. Could be half of us for all I know.
That'd be patently unfair.
Do we even know we have an infiltrator? Marissa asked. I mean, couldn't someone have just fireballed that wagon from a distance?
You missed it. We found an explosive device in the wagon, Patrick explained. But that doesn't mean it was any one of us. Maybe they had someone who was invisible and planted it.
Oh, Marissa frowned.
Huh.
Not impossible,
Byers turned toward Patrick,
but extremely unlikely.
Okay, Byers. Why don't you come with me to talk to Roland? You can hear what I have to say.
Acceptable,
he nodded.
Let's go. Any reason why we couldn't come? Patrick asked.
I hesitated, but Byers answered for me.
Information control may be important if we do have an infiltrator in our group. Corrin must have something he wants to keep confined for now.
I made an apologetic expression. Sorry, Patrick. My intent is to let everyone in on this soon, but I'm under some restrictions right now.
Okay.
He raised 3 fingers in a symbol of good luck.
You've got this.
Thanks. Byers and I went to talk to Roland. Of course, Viers was one of the most suspicious people himself. He'd been weirdly quiet at the beginning, allowing Kira to take charge, and now he was being much more assertive. Maybe the explosions had just encouraged him to step up his leadership, but it was plausible there was something more than that going on. "Roland, step away with us for a moment," I asked.
"Sure," Roland nodded, and we found a corner to talk in private.
"You found something?"
"Yes. Can I say your attunement in front of other people?"
Roland frowned.
"Sure, if you actually know it. But that was awfully quick. Are you sure you-
You're a diviner. Right leg."
"That was awfully quick. Can I ask?"
"I'll explain later. For the moment, I'm in need of your expertise."
"Sure. I can help you now that you've identified my attunement."
Viers frowned. "Is that part of the test somehow?"
"Not exactly," Roland explained. "More of a broader school restriction."
Viers gave Roland a skeptical look. I needed to act quickly in case Viers was about to stab us in the back. "As a diviner, you can make memory crystals, correct?"
"Certainly."
"Can you make them from other people, or just from your own memories?"
"Just my own, unfortunately. Making them from other people is a much more advanced skill."
"That's unfortunate. I was hoping you could make memory crystals of everyone reading their assignments." Viers looked at me with an expression of surprise.
"That's actually a pretty good idea."
I nodded. "Ideally, that'd let us circumvent the no looking at other people's paperwork rule. For the moment, though, it seems we can only use it to verify Roland's assignment."
"I can do that. Hold on a minute."
Roland closed his eyes and opened his palm. It took him a minute or two to form a crystal, which he then handed to me.
"It's not one of the self-triggering ones. I'll need to cast a spell on you to enable you to view it, and you'll be incapacitated while you watch."
I didn't like the sound of that. "Let me do it in the middle of the group. Then we can pass it around."
"Let me watch it first,"
Viers gestured to the crystal.
"But still within the group. And you can watch it second. I need to make sure you don't tamper with it somehow."
I didn't have any way of doing that, but that was fine. I appreciated a degree of paranoia. Respected it, even. I handed Viers the crystal. "Let's go." We met up with everyone, forming a circle, and explained the situation. Viers sat and held the crystal. Roland pressed two fingers against Viers' forehead.
"View memory."
The crystal shimmered. Then we waited. Kira and Rupert returned while Viers was still watching the crystal vision.
"What's this about?"
Kira asked. We explained.
"Is this really necessary?"
Rupert asked.
"It's obviously got to be an enchanter and an elementalist working together. And it wasn't me."
"There could be any number of our members involved," Sarah replied. "Or none at all. Being able to validate that a diviner is not a member of the opposition is extremely useful. Even if he can't make crystals from the rest of us, Roland may have other spells he can use to gather information."
"Fine, fine. Let's get this over with."
"Did you find three students?"
Sarah asked. Kira replied.
"Two. But they explained they had a third with them that just got away."
Marissa frowned and glanced at me.
"Guess you didn't hit them out quite hard enough."
I felt just a little guilty, but if I had the chance to help that student, Ryan, escape from a situation anything like my own... "I'll be more careful next time," it was the best I could manage to say. Viers reopened his eyes.
"Think he's clear. You all can watch too."
He passed the crystal to me, and Roland repeated the spell. This wasn't my first time viewing a memory crystal, but it was still disorienting seeing through someone else's eyes. At least in this case, I didn't need to see much. The memory was from him reading the paperwork, so I just had to read what he had been reading. There was nothing in the memories aside from the paper. I couldn't even hear anyone talking in the background. He must have gone somewhere quiet to read. Royce, Roland. Platoon designation, Phoenix Omega. Primary assignment, delivery of goods to designated settlement. When you have reached the designated location, goods will be checked by your contact. See student supervisor for information on mission contact. Secondary assignment, assist the enchanter with two attunements if you can discover their mission. Your usual requirements are applicable. The handwriting was different from my own paperwork. He must have been given his assignment by someone different. I wasn't sure if that mattered. My eyes reopened a minute later. I don't see anything overtly suspicious. I handed it to the next person. Something seemed just a little bit off, though. Was I just being too suspicious of everything?
Okay, while everyone else is watching that, we still need to work. We've lost two horses and some of our supplies are damaged.
Sarah waved at the nearest wagon.
Fortunately, the horses for the other wagon didn't bolt, so we still have one functional one.
Can one horse pull a wagon? Patrick asked.
Not one that heavy, Roland replied. But we might be able to consolidate the undamaged boxes into one carriage and leave the other behind.
We can carry a few boxes if the horses can't handle it all,
Marissa offered. I turned to Patrick. Could you levitate a wagon? He shook his head.
Nope. Way too heavy. One box, maybe, and even then I couldn't do it for very long.
Guess we're consolidating boxes, then, and we'll see if they can handle the load,
Kira offered.
Let's have a few of us stay here and watch the people using the crystal. The rest can check the damage and pack up.
We got to work. Viers pulled me to the side.
I may have misjudged you. That was a wise idea. I still don't trust you, but there's a better chance you're not involved. But why did his orders say to find you?
I wasn't sure if I should say, but at this point it was mostly out in the open. I had orders to find the traitor, or traitors, in the group from the beginning.
And you didn't think to tell the rest of us about something that important?
I didn't want anyone to be aware that someone knew there were traitors. If I told everyone I knew about the infiltrators, everyone would be on their guard around me.
Still a bad strategy. 10 set of eyes, or even 5, if we have 5 traitors, would have been better than yours.
I tilted my head back and forth non-committally. Maybe. I didn't expect them to move this quickly.
Well, they did. And now we've got to clean up the mess. Anything else I should know?
My lips tightened as I considered. Nothing I'm comfortable saying to one person at a time.
That at least I can agree with. Fine. But if you know anything, you need to find a time to share. And soon.
I nodded. Agreed. The only question was who I should share that information with. I had the most evidence that Roland was not involved, but elements of it still bothered me. His inability to share information still hadn't been fully explained, and it certainly could have been because he was a spider. Moreover, just seeing his paperwork didn't mean he couldn't have been given a different assignment verbally. And he was carrying a bunch of magical items, which I still hadn't gotten an explanation for. If he was a diviner, that meant he had definitely been equipped by someone in advance. I didn't know if he had explosive items or not. I would have needed to examine everything in his bags for that. I wasn't sure any degree of evidence was going to make me completely secure in Roland's loyalties. Who, then? Could I trust that there were few enough traitors that just excluding Kathy from the discussion and including 2 or more others would mean it was likely at least one person I was talking to could be trusted? Was there any way I could determine someone's affiliation with any degree of certainty? Veneve descended from the sky while I was considering, and that gave me an idea. We marched on. Veneve pointed out a few locations where we'd have to watch out for monsters, and in each case, we sent a group ahead to wipe them out. There weren't any major threats in the area. We had hundreds of students going down these pathways, and most of the monsters must have been cleared out by the earlier groups or the Soaring Wings. Later in the evening, I pulled Viers, Sarah, and Jin into a discussion. I think I have a method of solving our problem. There's one major issue, though. Kathy is most likely one of the traitors.
Kathy? Viers looked incredulous. You think they'd make a second year?
Wait. Yeah. Our professors really are that cruel.
Okay. Maybe.
I can handle Kathy.
Jin patted one of the pistols on his waist. That's not exactly the kind of problem I was talking about, Jin, but good to know. I shook my head. It's information that's the issue. I need to ask a policy question on whether something is allowed, and I'm not sure I can trust the answers from the second years. If Kathy is compromised, Jordan might be as well.
That seems a little extreme. We'd have to doubt every element of our assignments at that point,
Sarah pointed out.
which I suppose could be the purpose of this assignment, but I doubt it. They want us to be working toward being soldiers, and that's going to require a degree of trust for the chain of command and authority figures.
I concur, Byers replied. If Kathy is compromised, I find it less likely that Jordan would be. And in either case, I doubt that a rules issue would be something they could lie about. That seems like it's beyond the scope of someone playing a traitor in the test.
Fair?
It's a wording question.
Why do you think Kathy is a traitor?
Sarah asked. One of the players on the other team told me, I explained.
Why would they give you an honest answer about that? Byers asked. They're probably just trying to sow discord.
I shook my head. I doubt it. It was after I eliminated them.
They probably just wanted to get back at you then, by planting false information. Maybe save their score, Byers explained.
Maybe, I shrugged. But they told me because I was being nice.
Oh. You sure about this, Corin?
Sarah sounded concerned. No. I'm not sure about any of this. I'm terrible at people, but if nothing else, now we have a means for getting answers. Sarah smirked at that.
Okay. Let's give it a try. I'll go get Jordan.
She walked off, bringing Jordan over to the rest of us a few minutes later.
What's this about?
Jordan asked. I have a question. Our orders from before the test were that we could not show our paperwork to other students, correct? He shrugged his shoulder.
Sure.
Does that mean we could show them to someone else who isn't a student? Say, a professor? Jordan nodded.
Good question. Yeah, if you find one of the professors at the encampment, you could show them your orders.
And other non-students? I asked.
I guess, but I don't see any reason that other people would be out here.
I turned towards Sarah. She'd already picked up on the idea, of course.
Beneve, I summon you.
Beneve appeared by her side.
Twice? You must have missed me terribly.
Jordan turned to Beneve, then back to us.
I'm not... Yeah, you know what? Breaking the spirit of the rules a little bit, but I think you'd get away with it.
That's all I needed to know. I reached into my pouch and retrieved my paperwork. Beneve, do me a favor and read this out loud. A few minutes later, Beneve had read the paperwork of Sarah, Byers, myself, and even Jordan out loud. Everyone had little secondary assignments, but aside from mine, none mentioned the spiders in the group. The others were pretty mundane. Sarah was tasked with making a contract with a monster living in the woods, for example. And none of them had any orders to sabotage the group.
Shall we continue this with everyone else?
Sarah asked.
Let's,
Byers replied. Don't forget that this doesn't prove anything, I pointed out. We may very well discover that no one has written instructions to betray the group. They could have been given their orders verbally.
It's still a good start. There has to be a reason they wouldn't let us share our orders directly. We're fortunate we had help.
Sarah patted Beneve on the arm.
I live to serve, Beneve bowed. Myself, that is.
Sarah rolled her eyes.
Truly, you're a paragon of virtue.
When one considers self-preservation a virtue, I would indeed be an exemplar.
We retrieved the others.
Be ready for anything. What's this? Kira asked. We've determined a fair method of learning everyone's assignments without breaking the rules.
Sarah waved to Beneve.
He's not a student, so we can share them with him. He reads them aloud.
That feels a little like cheating, Rupert pointed out.
No, it's fair, Kathy explained. It was expected that someone would eventually think to ask for outside help. Either that, or you just have someone like Kira rifle through everyone's bags at night.
That was the backup plan, but I was going to ask Jin, not Kira.
Beneve, go ahead and read the ones we already handed you first.
Beneve read ours out loud again.
Now, let's form a line and have everyone... Sarah could have asked the Carvenzi to say anything,
Kira protested.
And a summoner with a Carvenzi would be quite capable of helping an enchanter make a fire enchantment.
I'm quite proficient at fire magic,
Beneve offered.
Not helping right now,
Sarah nudged him.
Look, the rest of these people saw me summon Beneve. I couldn't have given him orders like that. Standing orders.
You could have told him last time you summoned him, when he was scouting, Kira pointed out.
That was true. And Sarah did have the planning abilities to have told him something like that in advance. Maybe she'd come up with this plan before I had. And maybe...